Well, as we reach the midpoint in the program, the middle of the road of this week's award-winning For the People, it's only appropriate that we bring in some other close friends of ours who are always keeping us up to speed on things going on the road. Alex, sorry about that. I didn't mean that second one. It just comes out of me. Alex Slacky is with us from AAA Northeast, and there's a lot to talk about in terms of things going on our roadways. It's never good news when anybody loses their life in a traffic collision, but there are some shocking statistics that have been emerging. Probably one of the most of concern for me, a new and fledgling e-bike owner who's got all the protection a helmet and 300 plus pounds can offer, pedestrian safety and cyclist safety. So before we went on the air, Alec and I were just reviewing some statistics, and the one that really kind of blows us both away, and not just us, but law enforcement and traffic safety advocates all over the country, is almost an 80% increase in pedestrian deaths in the decade between 2010 and 2021, compared to a 25% increase in all of the traffic fatalities. Alec, this has triggered, obviously, a lot of attention from AAA, from your Traffic Safety Science Institute, also on the part of AAA Northeast in your office. Let's talk a little bit and start the conversation today, trying to do whatever we can to help our pedestrians and bicyclists and cyclists here in Connecticut be a little bit safer, if that's even possible.
It's really a challenging issue that's vexing policymakers across the country. And I think there are a variety of reasons why we're seeing this trend. We know that, you know, when our roads were built back in the 50s and 60s, you know, when people were starting to see cars be more popular and more garages, the priority was getting a vehicle from A to B as quickly as possible. And safety was not nearly at the forefront in the way that it is today, but it's a big effort to try to redesign those roads to make it optimal for pedestrians and cyclists and vehicles, because the research that we show, we're AAA, our members by and large drive cars. We want everyone to be safe. And we see that when we do redesign roads for safety, when we have things like road diets, where maybe instead of two lanes in each direction, it's one lane in each direction, and with a turn lane in the middle, traffic might actually flow better because it's more regulated and clear where people are supposed to go, and people in cars are also safer. So it's something that we've got to work on, but it's a big investment that's going to have to be done across the country.
I remember back in the early to mid 80s in my time in Los Angeles, when many of my days were spent in the moving parking lot that is the 405 freeway and the 10. Discussion back then was the surest way to fill an additional lane of traffic is to build an additional lane of traffic. So that sort of begs the question of when communities are now much more aggressively looking at taking steps like the one you just described of taking two lane roads down to one, or taking roads with very wide shoulders where there might be a lot of passing on the right and passing on the left outside the actual travel lane, and making them smaller with bump outs and other calming measures. Where is all that extra traffic going to go? Is it just going to go slower? Is it going to back up? How does AAA see communities dealing with the combination of making these traffic mitigation and speed mitigation measures and then dealing with where all this traffic is going to go?
It's a tough problem, and you're right that, you know, when we see that induced demand effect where you have another lane and there's just more traffic to fill it. So it's not like we want one lane roads everywhere. Obviously, people need to get where they're going, and we want people to be moving around and helping the economy grow. But a lot of times you can try to mitigate those issues with targeted, you know, signal timing changes, or maybe a turn lane is extended. A lot of times the traffic issues are very localized. I mean, of course, if you know, sometimes there's just more traffic and you can't mitigate 100% of it, but there are ways that you can try to improve particular hotspots that people know are problems in their communities. And that's best done really at the community level, because people are going to know, hey, this intersection, really, we should have 3 more seconds for a left turn lane because it really backs up. Or I wish this turn lane were extended back another, you know, 100 feet, because it would be easier for me to get in. Those sorts of changes are things that people, you know, really should have a voice about. And I'm glad that communities are getting, you know, these safety investments from the federal government, state government, to try to work on these things.
Yeah. Well, let's turn our attention to cyclists, because if part of the issue is distracted driving and the, you know, kind of the complexity of infotainment centers that are drawing people's attention, maybe a little bit more longer away from the job at hand, and that's watching the road and the pedestrians and cyclists on it. Let's start with cyclists. Is AAA advising any type of, you know, boilerplate behaviors that cyclists could take, or is saving more cyclists just going to mean creating more other vehicle, you know, restricted pathways and rail to trails and things like that, where motorized vehicles, cars, and trucks aren't allowed?
Yeah, I mean, I think those are certainly good ideas that you mentioned at the end, but we know those often take a long time, and we don't want to wait to keep people safe. And I'm glad you mentioned distracted driving, because it's something that we think about when you look at why pedestrians and cyclists are so much more at risk than they were 10, 15 years ago. We talk about the roads. The roads haven't changed in the last 15 years. What has changed? The vehicles and the drivers, and driver behavior, especially distracted driving, speeding. You know, it's really gotten worse during the pandemic, and it never really came back to what it was before. So we've got to make sure we get people to put the phone down, especially, you know, when we see crashes among driver traveling in the same direction as a cyclist. You know, there's a good chance that the driver just didn't see the cyclist. And why was that? Because I would bet there's a decent chance that they were looking at a phone or distracted by, you know, someone else in the car. Maybe it was they were, you know, reaching down to pick something up that they dropped. Who knows? But we've got to make sure we improve driver behavior. And I think, you know, enforcement is certainly a big part of that.
Yeah. Well, also, we haven't ventured into the potential that some of these deaths are being caused, unfortunately, by impaired drivers. So with that in mind, let's switch gears to another area that you're paying very close attention to and have been since January, as we get into the last week or so of the 2024 Connecticut General Assembly session. There are a couple measures that are percolating. Perhaps the outcome of them may have even changed between the time we taped this at noon hour on Friday and it plays on Sunday morning, or people are listening to it on the podcast during next week. But what's cooking at the State House?
You talk about impaired driving, and I'm sure a lot of folks have read about the effort to lower the blood alcohol concentration limit from 0.08 to 0.05. And this is something that is an emerging traffic safety trend, I guess you could call it that, or traffic safety effort in the U.S. So far, only Utah has a 0.05 limit, but it's something that's pretty common in countries around the world, most of our peer countries economically have limits of 0.05 or lower. And it's something that, you know, whether or not it passes, and look, we know it's an uphill battle in the legislature. That's not surprising. It's going to be an uphill battle in any legislature, but we want to get the point across that 0.05 is impaired. Certainly, you know, would I rather get in the car with someone that's 0.05 or would I rather get in the car with someone that's 0.15? I'd rather be in the car with someone that's 0.05, but I'd much rather neither of them be on the road at all. Yeah. And we know there's plenty of research that shows that, you know, a variety of motor functions are impaired at 0.05. You're more likely to be in a crash or a fatal crash at 0.05. And we would just rather people separate drinking from driving entirely. If you're planning to drink, don't drive. And if you're planning to drive, don't drink. And, you know, I don't want to just take it back to the old designated driver, but, you know, we've got ride hailing apps, you know, Uber and Lyft, some folks that can use transit. And you know what? I encourage people to go out and have a drink. Connecticut's got great breweries, great wineries. Go out and enjoy. I certainly have. But, you know, maybe when it's your turn to not drive, go out and enjoy a mocktail or some other drink. And, you know, you can help your friends and family get around and then they can return the favor for you.
Very good. Let's give you a break, folks. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about another important group of folks at risk, those working on Connecticut highway and roadway work sites, as well as a little bit about what's going on with electric vehicle trends here in Connecticut and gas prices. What's going on? I remember back in the, at Christmas time, I was paying $2.97. Now it's almost approaching $3.97. Big jump in gas prices. We'll talk more about that, as well as a little bit of good news, maybe, if you're doing some air traveling. We'll be back with Alex Slacky from AAA Northeast in just a moment. But in the meantime, we want to remind you that our friends in Literacy, Read to Grow, want you to know that there are only a few tickets left for their event, A Night for Books Literacy Champion Awards and Fundraiser. It's happening May 2nd at the Westport Library. You can delight in tasty food and drinks inspired by children's picture books. Connect with new acquaintances, raise your paddle to support the cause, and engage in some thrilling games. You can help honor the Read to Grow Literacy Champions and meet their inaugural Book Joy Award recipient, Michelle Threets. You can get tickets and learn how to support this important literacy nonprofit by visiting readtogrow.org. So, Alex, let's turn our attention to the folks who help make the roads better, literally, these work crews on the sides of the roads. We've seen way too many crashes, not just involving the folks that are doing the work on the roadways, but the troopers and the police officers and flaggers that are trying to help protect them.
100%. And we, you know, we've seen DOT really prioritize enforcement and work zones, and particularly automated enforcement. And for the last year, I guess last year, there was a pilot program where at a few particular work zone locations, DOT put in cameras. And, you know, I'm certainly someone that would tell you, hey, if I thought these automated enforcement cameras were about money, I would tell you they're not. Because DOT says, hey, first time we catch you going, you know, more than 15 miles over the speed limit in a work zone, we're going to give you a warning. And then the second time is a fine. And so it's really, you got to be working hard to actually have gotten a ticket. You've got to be really speeding dangerously and frequently. And we saw the results pay off. You can look at these graphs in DOT's report and literally see the speed shift from before they put the cameras into after, where there's a lot fewer people that are speeding. And we don't want anyone to get tickets. And we want this program to be reauthorized. And we don't see it as a moneymaker. We see it as a way to keep the folks that are working on our roads and helping us get from A to B safe. And I think, you know, I think the legislature will hopefully prioritize this one in the waning days of session and make sure that we can, you know, keep those folks safe. And I think there's, you know, what I saw in the Transportation Committee is bipartisan support for this effort, which is not surprising. So I'm hopeful that we'll be able to get that one reauthorized and keep folks safe on the roads ahead.
Great. And our last 5 minutes or so with Alec Slatke from AAA Northeast, we've got a couple more issues to cover. Alec, it's been in the news this week on a kind of a global level. Tesla is announcing massive layoffs in the face of a downtrend in sales. And here in Connecticut, we're hearing about at least one major energy utility making changes in a rebate program for EV home charging stations. AAA, to your credit and your employer's credit, is not only keeping an eye on these trends and reporting on them, you're actually going one step further and going all 21st century on us here by by putting an electric charging emergency response vehicle pilot program together. That's awesome.
Yeah, we're trying because we know, you know, our members are out there in plenty of gas-powered cars and plenty of electric cars. And for gas-powered cars, you run out of gas and we'll come, we'll give you a gallon and get you going to the next gas station. And we want to make sure we can do something similar for people that have electric cars. And we've always been able to service electric cars, right? We will, if you're out of charge, we'll tow you to the nearest charging station. So we've always been able to help, but we, you know, certainly people would prefer to get a charge right there, assuming it's safe, right? If you're on the side of an interstate, you ran out of charge, we're not going to spend, you know, 15 minutes on the side of the interstate waiting to charge you up. We're going to get you out of there and get you to a safe place.
Sure.
But what we've found, interestingly, is that we've got this pilot in 25 regions around the country, including Connecticut. The interest in it hasn't been huge because what we're finding is most electric vehicle owners, they are managing their charging appropriately, and they're not getting to a place where they're running out of charge. I remember, I mean, my dad, he's still driving a gas-powered car, but when we grew up, he would always get it down very close to empty, and I was late to my own birthday party one time because we ran out of gas, and it's always a fun family story, but we're seeing that because the EV owners now tend to be the more early adopters. They're more interested in, you know, EVs as a technology. They're very engaged and they're not letting the cars run out. What we're seeing for the electric cars is the same things we're seeing for gas-powered cars. People having tire issues, flat tire.
Right.
You got
right.
tires on every sort of car. Right. We're going to help with that.
Yeah, other mechanical stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, good. Well, hey, we've got about 2 minutes left with you, Alec. Let's end the show with good news, hopefully, for travelers on airlines. Big news out of U.S. DOT earlier this week on ways to make it easier for air travelers to get refunds that they're entitled to.
Yeah, and you know, I appreciate that. It's always good to talk about good news because so often we're talking about not good news on the roads.
Exactly.
And you know, I like to talk about good news when we have it. And this DOT rule really makes it easier and streamlines the process for when people are entitled to refunds from airlines. DOT is saying this has got to be done automatically, right? You don't want to make consumers jump through hoops. So let's say your flight is canceled. And then maybe there's an alternative that they give you. It's the next day. You're trying to get to a wedding or graduation or job interview, and it's too late and it's not of value to you. You should be able to get a refund for that flight, but you shouldn't have to jump through a million hoops to do that. And I think that's what the DOT rule really does, is to tell the airlines, hey, you've got to do this automatically, right? You can give someone the option for an alternative transportation, you know, an alternative flight. If they tell you no, then you got to give the money back right away or within, you know, within a reasonable time frame.
Sure,
you can't make the consumer fill out forms and go through a million hoops to get that money back that they're entitled to. And I think that's good. I mean, it's not going to cover every situation, right? If your flight is delayed by an hour and you miss a connection, and then you got to stay in a hotel in that connecting city, this is not necessarily going to cover you. That's where something like travel and insurance could help. But
of course,
it does make a, I think it's going to make a big difference and make a lot of folks' lives a little bit easier.
Excellent. Well, from happy travels, safe travels, hopefully, on our roadways here in Connecticut and wherever you may be listening to us, to air travelers and folks in their EVs and everyone in between. Alex Slacky is Managing Director for Public and Government Affairs for AAA Northeast. They'd love for you to consider being part of their network if you're inclined. You can go to AAANortheast.com to find out about everything that they offer to travelers and others here in Connecticut and beyond. They would love to have you as part of their team. Alex, thank you so much for our conversation today, and we'll be talking to you again soon.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early! Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.